Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Crusader Talk. I'm Caleb Hamill. Behind the board today, it's Dalton Stanford. Josh West is on the road, but we will visit with him later on in the show in our third segment. Been covering some men's basketball, and they had an extended trip out there in the Peach State. A couple good results, especially on the women's side. They continue their undefeated streak. Guys split a pair, a win over Bruton Parker, and then lost today against Middle Georgia State. And what was a little early afternoon set of contests, but we'll hear the full recap of that outing and a whole lot more in the show. But to start us off, we are going to begin with a preview of baseball because, y'all, it is here. Baseball season is upon us. Who knew you could start playing a baseball season on January 31st? Well, the answer is the NAIA. That's who starts playing baseball this early. And William Carey is lucky to get to host in their opening weekend. They'll have the University of Pikeville coming into town. Weather permitting, we'll start the season on Friday. 4 o'clock start is on the schedule. Stay tuned to social media platforms and the website just in case that gets bumped up or forward in time. Again, kind of have a little rain. It's supposed to rain at some point on Friday. We'll get the game in one way or another. But to talk about this season that is upon us in the year of our Lord 2025, we've got two guests in studio. We've got head coach Bobby Hallford, and then also we've got Andrew Shira, a veteran pitcher for William Carey, joining us here. And guys, first of all, welcome in. Glad to have you all in the studio. Andrew, I think this is your first time in this station.
Oh, yes, sir, it is.
Yeah, glad to have you with us. Not our first time to talk, however. No. We've been lucky enough to have a couple good performances from you over the years to get to talk to you either post-game or I think one time we threw a headset down there in the dugout for you in the middle of an inning or two. And you did a pretty good job. I'm trying to remember, man, because that was either SSAC tournament or maybe it was postseason a couple years ago. You had some outing that lasted like over 100 pitches, over 120 pitches, or something ridiculous.
It was, Houston Victoria in the regionals.
Yeah, Houston Victoria regionals. That was a crazy year. We had a lot of great arms on the club then. We had you, AJ Stinson was kind of the guy right behind you as far as day to day was.
Dario
was your Sunday guy, figurative Sunday guy, third game starter. But first of all, looking back at last year, I feel like it's pretty common knowledge that you kind of were battling a little bit of pain throughout the season last year. You get 8 wins even fighting through all that. But you're through this off season, you find out a little bit more about what was going on, finding some different treatments and all that. And you feel like you're kind of a new man coming into the start of this season.
Oh, for sure. It feels good to know what you had going on. And at the time that everything was happening, you have little doubts whenever you're being told that you're fine, but you're still feeling this pain. And I'm glad I was able to figure out the answer this offseason and get that treated too. And I feel healthy and ready to go again.
Now, you and I were talking a little bit before we started the show today about, and again, this is kind of my new love, and I'm excited as a broadcaster to have this at my fingertips, but all the TrackMan stats that are available during games, but more importantly, during the off season of getting prepared for a season, and then the adjustments as the season goes on. But those analytics tell you a lot about not just how you're currently throwing, just pitch by pitch, but I found out from you, you can learn about what you're doing in specific scenarios. You're not just training the arm and the hand, you're training the brain as well to see what's going on from a pitching standpoint. What's been the most fun set of analytics that you've gotten to learn from over this time that you've had those?
I would say it would be the difference in breaks on different pitches with all of our pitchers. Because, we all have, your typical fastball, slider, changeup, but everybody's moves a different way, and it plays different in the zone. So seeing what your spin rate is and how your ball moves determines where you're supposed to throw that pitch. And us learning where we need to throw our pitches to be successful, which has probably been the best part about the TrackMan.
Has Coach Hallford let you take BP a little bit just to see those stats for yourself?
Last time he took BP, he hit a home run off me.
He hit a home run off you?
Off me.
Yeah. He's restricted me from that, trying to keep me healthy.
I'm
so
trying to keep his back healthy.
that's fair, given all things considered there. Because, I mean, we can't take a risk at having the next Preston Ratliff come in a postseason run of just launching home runs. No, but Andrea, as we look ahead this year, obviously – anybody you talk to is going to talk about what they can improve on from last year to this year. Obviously, we talk about your health and getting your back ready. But coming into this 2025 year, what's been the biggest improvement for you that you've tried to face ahead of this season?
Improvement for me is what can I control on the mound? And the biggest thing that I can do out there is go out there and compete for my guys and throw the ball over the strike zone. We can limit how many people we walk, and we can limit the run game for the most part. So that's what we all try to improve, is having command of our stuff and being able to control the game.
We're talking to Andrew Shira, pitcher of William Carey University. Andrew, senior year, you come from Mobile, Alabama. You had 1 year where you were away from the Crusaders, if memory serves right, before you came here and are about to finish out your college career. What's it been like for you, just as a William Carey Crusader and being a part of this university and knowing now that you're about to embark upon your final year?
I mean, I think it's a blessing from the Lord that I ended up here. I love the University of William Carey, and I love the group of guys that we have. And I really do think it is a blessing that God put me in this spot to be here. And I'm just excited for the team camaraderie we have and the team. That's been the best part about being William Carey, is the atmosphere and what the coach does for us and the team that we've put together. To we all want success for each other, and it's just a great thing to be a part of.
Coach, I'll bring you into the conversation about this. Andrew, whenever we looked at last year's roster and who was coming back for this year, he was one of the ones that stood out as the easy piece, is going to be right back in the mix. Didn't have to worry about replacing him, but there's going to be a lot of different holes from last year's group that you have to fill. Let's first kind of talk pitching, because we've got Andrew in the room here. Obviously, 2 years ago you lost A.J. Stinson. Now you're having to fill a couple other holes after that. Who's stepping up to the mound now for William Carey?
Matthew Davis is a transfer from Arkansas Little Rock, and we had a connection with him through a high school player that we had, and a guy that's working now for the church down on Hardy Street. So he kind of let us know that he was looking, because he had come off of Tommy John and he was healthy again, and he's been very good in the fall, and he's looked really good, and he's fit right in with our guys. He's just like Andrew. He's just like him. He's a godly young man that strives to be the best he can be every day.
So that's a big piece to come in for William Carey on the pitching side. Now, from a hitting perspective, big gap to fill with R.J. Stinson moving on. He's done with his college career. He's been trying to play in I can't remember, the Valley League?
He's going to be in the Frontier League.
Frontier League. I couldn't remember the name of it right offhand. Gotcha. So with that, he missed a big starting piece to your lineup. He had held that spot for a couple of years. It was the time when him and Patrick Lee were going back to back, and now he's no longer the person at the top of your lineup. Who's most likely going to take hold of that spot and help kickstart your lineup?
Well, it's going to be hard to replace him. I mean, I think he's a once in a coach's career that you'll have a kid like that. It's just what I call a professional hitter. But we've got a few D1 transfers. Got Josh Alexander. He's from Lafayette. Played at ULL last year. And he kind of gives you some of the same thing that RJ was able to do. We're going to lead him off this year. Big bat, really good speed, good outfielder. So we're looking for big things from him. We've got DJ Booth hopefully coming back, that's been out for a couple of years. I thought was one of the best hitters in this area growing up, and had played 2 years at Jones, and he went to Eastern Kentucky. Had some injury issues, and so he's still kind of battling through it, but he's a big bat for us. And then Eli Collins is a transfer from Southern Miss that helped take East Central to the World Series a couple of years ago. So those three guys I feel like will really help us in that area, because, again, it's hard to replace a guy like that. Also, Jake Lissette was one of our better hitters, and Bailey Hendon also. So those three guys will be sorely missed, but we feel like we can do some other things maybe a little differently. We can really run as a team, and that's one of the things that we're going to try to accentuate early this year, try to put pressure on the defense, that type thing.
You and I talked last time you were on the show over the phone. We were talking about a new coaching addition and Coach McMahon. how have the players adopted him into the William Carey family ahead of the season?
Well, you know, it's hard to lose a guy like Ben Smith, who's been with us for a long time and coached with me and that type thing. And, of course, Jamie's the same guy. He's just, you know, he played for me. So we kind of think the same way. We have some of the same ideas about it. And he's a real stickler in practice, and he's a real worker. And everywhere he's been successful at all levels. You know, he's been successful at the college level and junior college, and also at Division One, and then also at high school. So looking forward to the work he's done. And of course, Eric's done a great job with our pitchers and works as hard as anybody in baseball right now. And so we feel good about this group.
Yeah, certainly. And Ben told me, you know, when he was on the show, it may have been last week, as a matter of fact, that when he went out there and watched y'all scrimmage for a little bit, he assumed that pitching was going to be ahead of hitting, as it normally is for this time of year. But, boy, he was really surprised at how good the hitting already is and how high that ceiling can be for this lineup. I'm going to ask you more about that when we come back in just a little bit. We're talking with head coach Bobby Hallford of William Carey Baseball and also senior pitcher Andrew Shira, both of them in the house today, as we look forward to the start of the William Carey 2025 baseball season. It starts Friday, January 31st. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, back talking baseball here on Crusader Talk. Got Coach Hallford in the house as well as Andrew Shira. Coach, I want to get it back on the page talking about hitting, because I mentioned going to break what Ben Smith had mentioned about how far hitting already is before the start of the season. How much of that is who you've brought to the table, and how much of it is just off-season production and preparation?
Well, I think experience is one thing. And also, when you have facilities like we have now, we don't miss a beat. I mean, we're hitting all the time. It's just like these guys throwing. We have a tie-in with Traction now, and we're able to use their facility. Like our pitchers might go over there and have a full workout. Same thing. We have our indoor facility, we're blessed at our level to have an indoor facility as good as ours is. And our guys are constantly trying to get better. And I think that's the fun part about coaching, is when you see these players that you don't have to tell them, you know, you need to come and do your work. Because a lot of them, they're calling me sometimes during church and saying, Coach, can we have it get it open this afternoon? Or can you get security to open up the indoor facility? And so I said, yeah, let's wait till church is over.
Yeah.
Well, I've already been to church, is what one of them told me one day. But and that's the kind of player that right now, and what Andrew was talking about, that camaraderie that these kids have.
You know, one thing that I think helps camaraderie is a facility that you have now that you'll get for a full season for the first time, and that's your namesake field house that's now been constructed, that you and softball both get to share and enjoy. And I'll get Andrew your opinion on this. What's it like to have kind of that designated facility, kind of that, you know, location that you can go to that didn't really exist in this capacity before?
Oh, it makes things so much easier. Like, I remember after games or doubleheaders, we're having to walk up the steps in the hitting facility to get to our locker room, and we're all just crammed together. Where now we all enjoy getting in the locker room, having our space, being able to sit. Like, this is a place where if we have an off day or something, we all go up to the field house and we'll talk and sit around before we get our work in. It's where we can just enjoy being around each other, where we didn't have that before. So we're spending extra hours at the field with each other out of the comfort of the new locker rooms and just having more space. And it's been great for us.
So what are all the cool amenities that you get in a locker room facility like this? What's the latest and greatest?
I'll say, well, what we like to do as a team is we have a TV in the locker room. So we'll put like maybe some songs we want to listen to or just a funny video we want to watch, and we'll all sit around and watch the video and, you know, laugh at it and whatever. But it's the nicest thing is all the lockers have their own seats, and they're pretty big lockers. So we can all be in our locker sitting down, and we have plenty of room to just be comfortable in. And that was the biggest thing. So I'd say the old locker room was just not very comfortable.
It's
and that's
too
a big
small.
Change. Yeah.
I got to ask you about this, you know, because as a broadcaster, these type of things stand out to me as I get ready to call a game. Last year was our first year in quite a while that we did not have the camouflage uniforms or the American flag numbers. Are they still gone, or did y'all find a way to make it hard for me yet again?
No, we're not going to use those probably as much as we. But we do have a new uniform that we already have. And last year I said, you know, we need to do a City Connect uniform like the MLB does and like the NBA. And we've got a really cool one that we have right now that we're going to use in special events, especially to bring the city to William Carey, which was close and right downtown. And that's something that I wanted to do. And back when I was a player, after I graduated, I played for the Hub City Wheels. And that was a really good semi-pro team. So we've got that theme. We've got the Hub City with the wheel, and we've got the Hattiesburg logo. So we're going to break those out pretty soon and really, you know, bring the community together with that.
Did you play at Smoky Harrington, or where did you
play? We played at H.R. Morgan. It was H.R. Morgan Field, and we had a big rivalry with the Hattiesburg Black Sox, and we had some Jackson teams that we had rivalry with, and some of the guys in town, Jim Smith, Junior Broom, and those guys, Greg Moore. They all played, and it was a great time. And Coach Stevenson had just retired from professional baseball, and he played with us. And so it was kind of a neat time. And so I always wanted to, you know, go back and look at those uniforms, and we kind of copied some of that. And so I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, and thinking back about uniforms, Andrew, I know a lot of teams out there, it's the starting pitcher for a given day that gets to make some choices, whether it be uniform or, you know, some of the song selections. What liberties do you have as a starter?
Coach will let the guy who's throwing the game usually decide the uniform. So, like, if it's one game on Friday, he'll let the Friday guy do the uniform, and the first game on Saturday gets to decide the uniforms for the day. And a big part of it is just what do we feel comfortable throwing in. Like, of course, you want them to look good, but we want to feel good while we're playing, and that's the biggest part of it.
So what's your favorite combo?
I love the black jersey on white pins. It's comfortable. It looks good. You got the iconic Carey hat with it. I think it's probably our best look, and I love throwing in those.
It was interesting because we were in Lewiston. Some of the host families came by and said, man, we like your uniforms. For the last couple of years, they would always tell us that was the favorite uniform of the teams that were out there. So it's been fun.
And we're hoping to get to hear their compliments yet again this year for a third straight season. And the first step in that road to Lewiston is going to be this upcoming matchup this weekend. A team from Pikeville, Kentucky, is that right? Yeah, from Kentucky.
In the Appalachian League.
Yeah, which is a great baseball conference, by the way. Really. Tennessee Wesleyan, Milligan Reinhardt, he said, is in there too. But this is an improved team and a good start for Carey ahead of what's still a pretty good front-heavy schedule when you have next weekend, just not to look ahead too far, but it's always been interesting having Missouri Baptist and Campbellsville come in for the last few years. But let's go, you know, what's first on the schedule. What is it going to be like for your crew when they face Pikeville this weekend?
They've got a couple of their best hitters coming back, a couple of guys that hit a lot of home runs. And like I said, the guy has been an assistant, has been down to our ballpark many times because he was an assistant at Lindsey Wilson and also had worked with the guy at Reinhardt. So he's very familiar with our program, also with our players. And so been looking at some information about them this past week, and they returned a good bit of the team that won. I think they were 20-10 or something like that in their league. So they had a really good run in their conference last year.
So Pikeville, much improved team there. And you know, when it comes to trying to get rotations figured out for the start of the year, whether it be batting order or starting pitching, you know, what is it like for you as a coach to try to get those pieces together to start off a year? Because I'm thinking about last year, and I think I saw more starting nine rotation changes in a season that year than any other year in baseball, just experimenting and moving guys around. So what do you look for when it comes to trying to nail that perfect order?
Well, you're looking for balance. You're looking for guys that can run. You're looking for guys that can complement each other. In other words, if you go out there and you just put all your best hitters in the lineup at one time, sometimes that might not be your best lineup. You know, you have to have role players. You have to have guys that can do certain things, guys that, you know, go deep in the count, guys that can walk, guys that can bunt, steal bases. But, you know, we have a lot of different ways we can go this year. The biggest difference that I see in the NAI and the way our playoff structure is every game matters, because the game that you win or lose at the first of the season might come down to whether you get to go to a regional or whether you actually get to host a regional. So you don't have the luxury of experimenting. You know, you really don't. And so I kind of take each game like it's a tournament game. I mean, we're trying to win every game.
Absolutely. Don't argue, or I won't argue with you on that. Thinking about last year's team to this year's team as well, I remember a lot of times through that lineup you'd have a good dose of left-handers or switch hitters. You lose a couple of those. You have Rigoberto Hernandez back on the roster. He's a switch hitter. But you lose Bailey Hendon. You lose Jake Lissette. Was he left-handed as well? Mm-hmm. Billy Garrity would bat left. And so how much of the lineup is available to bat to the opposite side?
Well, when you say the lefty, I mean, we're replacing D.J. Booth's left-handed hitter. Okay. Josh Alexander's a left-handed hitter. So you have those guys. And so those are the two guys like Bailey and Jake. So we still have that, you know, we have that available to us. I think we have more people off the bench that we can call on this year than we've had in the last couple of years. And that's a positive. And also behind the plate. We have a lot of experience behind the plate. And we just found out over the holidays that that one of our catchers wants to come back. Coffee wants to come back from having concussions and that type of thing. So he was thinking about giving up this last year because of the, you know, the concussion, I think. But he's reconsidered, and we've had him there all fall as kind of a student assistant, that type of thing. And, of course, we got Jaden Mark that came from Gulf Coast. And then, of course, you know, Brady Logan's back. So our experience behind the plate is really good right now. And so looking forward to, you know, those guys.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing what Kerry fields this year on this baseball team. Before we run out of time, Andrew, one final just quick question for you. And I know it's not a great summarizing question, but which pitch are you most looking forward to getting to throw out there and catch the eyes of everybody?
I've tried developing a new pitch, and I'm trying to throw a cutter this year. We're gonna see how it goes. If it goes well, we'll continue throwing it. But if not, we'll go back to my old arsenal. But I think it's another dimension that I can add to my game that could probably step me up a level.
A new and improved Andrew Shira coming your way starting this Friday night. Folks, don't miss it. Coming to you from Milton Wheeler Field. Current game time is set for 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday. Tell your boss you had to leave early. You just had to get out there. You got the fever, and you got to prescribe yourself a little bit of baseball to cure that fever. So, again, Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock, be there right here at William Carey at Milton Wheeler Field, where the Crusaders will take on the University of Pikeville. Thanks to Coach Hofford and Andrew Shira for joining us. Up next, Josh West will join us on the phone live from Georgia to recap the basketball team's trips out there. That coming up next as Crusader Talk continues.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, we continue on in Crusader Talk. Thanks to Coach Bobby Holford and Andrew Shira joining us a couple moments ago. If you missed their interviews, you can catch it on demand wherever you get your podcast. Just search for Crusader Talk, all one word. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Stitcher. I mean, if you know how to get to podcasts, if you subscribe to any podcast out there, you're going to be able to find Crusader Talk. If you can't, it's your own fault. Just ask your grandkids. They know how to do it. They can get you there. But anyway, we have some great discussions already in the books for baseball, but now to turn to the season that's already in progress. Progress, I think, is definitely the right word to describe how Kerry has dealt with this season thus far. And Josh West joins us. He's on the road in Georgia after a long stint with Bruton Parker and Middle Georgia State on the lineup. Josh, good trip out there for the women's basketball team, and then a split set of games for the men.
Yeah, it was a really, you know, business-like trip for the ladies. They were heavy favorites in both games. I say that, particularly today, they were. They played essentially everybody in that ball game and won by 15 and had a 24-point lead and, you know, were able to the starters played very little, and they won 77-62. Now, rewind it back to the Bruton Parker game. Bruton Parker's the team that bounced back today and beat Loyola on a destiny right layup at the buzzer. And so Bruton Parker's a very decent team. Three-way tie for third in the league. Cary absolutely just destroys them by 31. But in that game, Bruton Parker shot poorly from the free throw line, from the floor, from beyond the arc. They couldn't, as the old saying goes, couldn't hit the broad side of a barn. And so you have to win that game by 31, and they did. Colton Blakeney had 20 points, 14 rebounds in that game, 10 points, 10 rebounds for Chenille Corpus. That duo played really well today. Again, they combined for 34 again in the win. It was just a solid, solid week for them. Then turning the page to the men, big win in overtime at Bruton Parker, 106-99. Loyola went over there and beat Bruton Parker today, 74-72. Bruton Parker's lost something like seven in a row, and they can beat anybody in the league. It's
right.
Crazy the depth of this league this year, right? And so on the men's side, let me clarify.
Yes.
And so Dylan goes off for 25 on Saturday, 23 more today. So he'll be a candidate for Offensive Player of the Week in the league. Zandon Harrelson had a season-high 19 today. 16 points, 17 rebounds for Randarius Hughes on Saturday. But that game was wild on Saturday. Let's go back to Bruton Parker.
Yeah, Bruton that was – there's a lot of official stuff going on in that game too, or those games,
yeah.
I should say. But let's not – we don't have to make that the key storyline.
Right. No, the storyline is that Cary was down big early, went on a 19-4 run, tied at the half, got up by 8 with like 3 minutes left. Below that lead real quick and in a hurry. 9-0 run by Bruton Parker. There was a flagrant one thrown in there that I don't think it was a flagrant one. Something me and Coach Knight didn't really visit with off the air about, but everybody involved didn't seem to think that was a call. But that was a four-point swing on that trip. So now you're down one. So now we're seesawing. Cary goes up three, 85-82. They hit a three. Guy that bench player comes out and hit a three. It's 85-85. Cary's at the line with 7 seconds left with Brumfield to make it a four-point game and ice the game with 7 seconds left. He misses. Of course, they come down and hit the 3-4 OT. And then Cary just dominates OT to win 106-99. Today, Cary essentially loses at the buzzer. Kid that's shooting 18% from three all year, has been working his rear end off in the gym. He's just puts in so much work. He was feeling good about himself today. Buries the three with 2.4 seconds left to break the tie at 72. And then Cary misses a long three short at the buzzer to try to force OT again and loses 75-72. So, good week for the guys. Not a great week. You split the road trip. You've got five of the next six at home. You've got a payback game coming up at Tougaloo on the third. And so a chance to really do a lot of damage and get on a good little run here.
Yeah, looking at the SSAC standings right now, obviously women undefeated, we know where they are. But when it comes to a guy's perspective, you've got the two divisions now, East and West. Dalton State is still 11-0 in the conference, 17-2 overall. Their next best team on the East side is Life at 8-2. But when it comes to where Cary is positioned, it's Mobile that's tops in the SSAC West. 8-2 are the Rams. Cary now at 8-4 after that loss earlier today to Middle Georgia. So you carry a couple more games played the Mobile right now. We'll see how the Rams schedule shakes out. We do have another. I say another. Do we have we already played Mobile twice, or do we have one more with them?
No, so you got Mobile. So that last week of the season, you've got Mobile coming in on the 20th. That has to be the game of the year at Clinton Gym.
Yes.
It's got to be packed out. We need to be celebrating the women's championship already, and we need to be spurring on the guys to a postseason run. And then the 22nd, it will be Cary wrapping up the regular season down in New Orleans against Loyola. But on the women's side, my goodness, you've got a situation where if Mobile loses one more, then the ladies could wrap up that regular season title and that automatic berth a week and a half early.
Wow.
If they can continue to win up until the last week, it takes all the air out of the balloon, so to speak, in those rivalry games. Of course they want to win them. They're playing for bigger things, seeding, RPI, a lot of things that they're going to be playing for. But when you don't have to win them, I think that takes a little bit of pressure off.
It absolutely does. But, you know, the way I see the girls and when they go out there and perform, and then the way Coach English talks to us about this team, I really don't know that it phases them. I think they could have, you know, been told you won the conference after week two and still have just had that mean mug face just ready to take on the next opponent. You know, there's just something about the mentality of this team this year, and you've been right there with a front row seat to see it. It really is, and we've mentioned this before, it's really like Coach Danny Owens' women's soccer team, that those girls didn't get really hyped about all their goals. You know, they were just businesslike out there and would just take things one day at a time. Would you say that's really what is happening right now with every game that you see?
Oh, yeah, great take on that, Caleb. I think 100% that's the case. And with that said, they do get into it, but it's for one another. So those ladies are cheering on their teammates. The cheers are louder in a blowout win in the fourth quarter when the maybe six or seven players that aren't able to get a ton of minutes are out there making plays and hitting threes and getting layups and getting offensive rebounds and stick backs. Those are the biggest cheers of the entire game, is when those ladies are on the floor. Everybody's pulling for one another, and so we saw some of that today. McKaylee Randall had a season-high 10 points. She hit double figures. Kylie Seals got in a bucket. Ingle got a bucket. You know, things like that. That was good to see. Dede Cuevas played 12 minutes. Mia Dole had 4 points the other day over at Bruton Parker. So you're some players, Gabby Gallup played in those games, wasn't really necessarily looking to score. But we've seen her hit big shots. We saw her hit a big three a couple of weeks ago in a game. She's capable. They just haven't needed her to step up and make a shot yet, but she works for that every day. Coach Garriga called her one of the unsung heroes on this team, because she does not get a break in practice, and she does not play many minutes. But she is putting in the work to make sure those top players are ready to go.
We're talking with Josh West. He has been on the call of William Carey basketball this weekend and on into today as Carey takes down Bruton Parker in Middle Georgia State in women's action. Guys beat Bruton Parker but fall to Middle Georgia, which, by the way, that's not a terrible loss for William Carey when you look at RPI. And Middle Georgia State at last check sitting
52.
At – okay, right around the upper 50s, or better, you know, low 50s, I mean. And with that, that would be – I believe considered a quad one loss. I'm not quite sure how all the quads are divided out, but in the NCAA, that would be a quad one loss.
Right.
So it doesn't hurt you extremely much from a resume perspective, much better than a quad two or three. But all considered, Carey is going to make the long drive back here to Hattiesburg. And next up on the schedule, we've got a big conference matchup coming up with Life University during the week on Thursday, where the women and men will both take on the Running Eagles. Women's game will be at 5:30. Guys will be at 7:30. And this is our first home game in a long time. It's been a while since we've been at Clinton Gym.
Yeah, it's been so long I forgot what tip-offs were. I misspoke on the broadcast. I said 5 and 7 off the top of my head. So, yes,
we'll just be there a little early.
Yeah, 5:30 and 7:30. Yeah, you're okay if you get there early. But Running Eagles on the men's side are 26 in the RPI. I think the ladies are just inside the top 100. And then the games that are really critical are Saturday. You've got to beat Abraham Baldwin. Abraham Baldwin ladies are 224 out of 227 in the RPI. Just a brutally bad RPI game that you can't
avoid.
Can
that one just get rained out? Is this like Ole Miss and whoever it was, Arkansas State and baseball late in the season? Can that just not be on the schedule anymore?
Well, there's enough good games on the schedule, especially with Loyola and Mobile and all late, to make up for that. UT Southern coming up as well, Tennessee Southern. So it's going to be good. And The Ladies just have to keep winning. They're number one in the Southeast Region ARC rankings. They're 6-0. They have the sixth most quad one wins of any team in the country right now, 6-0. They are also 6-0 in quad two games. So they're undefeated across the board. They are. I had a chance to speak with Coach Kathleen Kennedy, the head coach of Loyola. She played Xavier. She's played Cary. She played both teams. She said Cary, you know, should be in the polls. If Xavier's in the polls, Cary should be in the polls, but they don't matter. But she's really happy for Tracy. Obviously, wants her team to continue to gel. Loyola's a really good team, but they got upended today by Bruton Parker. A little bit more depth on the women's side than we realized.
Absolutely. Hey, those rankings, just like Whose Line Is It Anyway? Everything's made up and the polls don't matter.
Exactly.
All right. Josh, thanks so much for joining. Hey, safe travels wherever you are out in the Peach State, and hope you have a safe trip home. We look forward to seeing and hearing from you with the broadcast on Thursday night. It'll be right here on 97.3, and looking forward to it.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
All right, he is Josh West on the other side of this timeout. I'll be back here in studio with Dalton, and we will wrap up this episode as Crusader Talk rolls on.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Great show already in the books as we talked to Coach Bobby Hallford and Andrew Shira just a few moments ago, and then recap basketball action with the man, the myth, the legend, Josh West. I tell you what, that is a long road trip to make, going all the way out there to Bruton Parker and then Middle Georgia State. And it got stretched out to a later run than it was originally supposed to be. It's supposed to be Middle Georgia on Thursday, Bruton Parker Saturday, but because of all the ice and travel conditions, they flipped Middle Georgia around to this Monday, or today as we record. And Josh is just now wrapping up his trip. The team's on their way back, and it was funny. I was listening to his post game with Coach Tracy English after the girls got their win, and Coach English was saying how excited he is to get to sleep in his own bed. But Josh quickly retorted, but it's going to take you a while to get there, isn't it? He's like, yeah, it is.
Now it is. Caleb, how far of a drive is that exactly?
Ooh, that's a good question, and I know just the website to use to figure that out. Let's see. So from here to Middle Georgia State, and they do have two different campuses, so you have to make sure you pick the right one.
Oh, that's true. That's important.
So we've got to go to Cochran, Georgia. Let's see. So the Cochran campus, directions from here in Hattiesburg, as I'm live telling you what I'm typing into Google Maps.
I was going to say, don't tell me you're map questing this.
7 hours and a little change.
Okay. I mean, that's...
You actually go down to Mobile to get up to where they are in Georgia.
Really?
Yeah. And actually, Josh is going out to do a little bit of extra business. He's actually going north up to Atlanta, which is an alternate way you can get home. You can go up to Atlanta and then across through Birmingham,
yeah,
into Meridian and then down to Hattiesburg.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I wonder.
That adds about 20 minutes. And it honestly probably depends on where in Hattiesburg you're traveling from.
This is also true because, I mean, I've noticed West Hattiesburg versus downtown Hattiesburg can completely change which way you're going to take. It's pretty funny if you've ever planned a trip on Apple Maps or Google Maps or anything like that. It's amazing what the littlest difference can make. And traffic and road conditions, because Lord knows we've traveled back and forth from Texas enough times from here to San Antonio. That's about 9, 10 hours, maybe 11, almost 12 with stops and traffic. So, you know, littlest thing can make it or break it.
Yeah, less than half of our conference and then some is out there in Georgia. It's kind of funny. I was looking at the SSAC basketball standings for the guys just a moment ago, and it truly is Georgia in the East and then everybody else in the West. It is SSAC East. Yeah, listen to this. Dalton State, Life, Middle Georgia State, Thomas, Bruton Parker, Point, and Abraham Baldwin.
Wow.
All Georgia. Then the West, Mobile, Cary, Faulkner, UT Southern, Loyola, and Blue Mountain Christian.
Wow.
Now, back when I was doing Presbyterian Christian football on this station, it was always uncanny, the conference, if you will, or the division that PCS played in. There was only one division in their 6A, excuse me, yeah, 6A classification.
Right.
I guess is the terminology we'll use there. So all of the 6A schools, by the time that I made my exit, was 6A in Jackson.
Really?
You had, or Jackson metro area, if you want to, you know, kind of broaden the scope there. Had two teams in Madison, two teams in Flowood, and one team actually in Jackson. So you had Jackson Academy, you had Jackson Prep and Hartfield. Those were the two in Flowood. And then you had MRA, which I think is technically Ridgeland.
Yeah.
But Madison's in the name. And then St. Joe Madison.
Hmm.
So you basically had to have a timeshare up there in the Jackson area if you were doing PCS athletics.
I always kind of felt bad for PCS. And obviously, people that know me know I went to Oak Grove, you know, graduated 2016. And even back then, it was a large school. I mean, I was in the band, so we traveled all around with the football team, and we played some really, really big schools. And it was always funny. I never understood why back then. Of course, I didn't know near about as much as football back then as I do now, but why we never played PCS. Because they were a sizable school that were right here in our backyard, and nothing ever lined up with them. Now, I think we did something with them. I think we had a sport that we played something with them. I don't
know
what it was.
Yeah, Chance, you played, had baseball or basketball.
Yeah.
You know, because those sports, you know, the size of the school doesn't make as huge of a difference for a sport like football, in which roster size makes a huge impact on results. But all that said and done, BCS is going to be in 3A now.
Really?
Yes, they're in public school. I say public school. It's the MHSAA in which they compete. Same as Sacred Heart.
Right.
It's a different size classification they're part of. But all that said and done, they're going to get to play a couple more regional type opponents. They're going to have to travel to Jackson every other Friday night, which is honestly, for football it was okay, but for basketball and baseball and all these other sports where you play pairs of games throughout the year, that's going to make a huge difference.
Oh yeah, all right.
Quickly on the calendar before we run out of time, baseball this weekend, Friday, and a doubleheader Saturday. Game time's 4 o'clock Friday, I believe. On the schedule online, it's still showing 1 o'clock. Coach Hallford said they may move that up to noon on Saturday. That's what the coaching staff at Pikeville were interested in possibly doing. Elsewhere on the calendar, you have coming up, as I mentioned earlier, Life University, a set of basketball games set for 5:30 and 7:30. That is Thursday night at Clinton Gym. Then you also have on Saturday meetings with Abraham Baldwin. Those will be on campus as well at 12 and 2. So you can kind of share time with baseball and basketball if you're on campus this weekend. Men's tennis playing in a tournament out in Kansas City. May get a report from their outing out there from Coach Lux or somebody close to the team as well. But, hey, we're right in the middle of the start of 2025, late January. Wouldn't have it any other way than to have multiple sports going on at the same time.
That's
so for Dalton Stanford, I'm Caleb Hamill. Until next time, good night, God bless, and go Saters.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.